This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
How would you like to see Dave Roberts use the Padres players in tonight's All-Star game?
Not even a little.
Well, Manny's in the starting lineup, so you know he's going to be out there batting fifth for the National League. Lineup was announced yesterday.
So he won't get Scoob. Will he?
Depends on whether Scoob will get one, two, three in the first inning. I don't imagine anyone's going to go more than one inning. Used to be sometimes the starter would go like three innings.
Two or three, yeah.
In the All-Star game. Now you've won max. But if a couple of guys get on, Manny could have Scoobel with runners in scoring position, or he could be facing a new pitcher as the leadoff or second batter in the second inning.
I think DR said Skeens is going to start, Kershaw is going to throw second, and then he said, I'm going to go to Adam from San Diego. Smart of him.
He's already said.
He said.
Followed by five innings of relief from Robert Suarez.
Correct. Adrian Morejon for three in the middle of the game. Fernando Tatis Jr. to close it out on the bump.
I mean, I think if you're Dave Roberts, you at least hold back Adrian Morejon for a lefty lane.
Sure.
So you kind of play that by ear a little later in the game. Adam's pretty effective against both sides of the plate, so you can schedule him in early. I mean, he has so few starting pitchers. They almost all begged out, whether injury or didn't want to pitch or was pitching on the last day before the All-Star game. That's a bunch of relievers in the pen, including, of course, the three from the San Diego Padres.
Do you guys like, and forgive me, I don't have a ton of All-Star history here, but when did they start adding more relief pitchers? It used to be starting pitchers made up the majority of the pitching staff.
I think you would
see guys come in the sixth inning that are starting pitchers because they're the stars for the most part. I don't know how I feel about it.
Well,
I'm glad that relievers are getting recognized for sure, and it's you don't win a baseball game without relief pitchers.
So many didn't for so many years. I mean, just the elite relief.
Maybe the closers.
Yeah, closers would, but
that's about it.
The Jason Adams, the Adrian Morejons of the world were like, later, man. I'm going to Jamaica.
Pedro Martinez coming in the sixth inning of an All-Star game or something.
Yeah. So Adam Paul says after the Milwaukee fiasco where they had that tie.
And it's really been that long.
Ran out of pitching and stuff. Also,
like 15 plus years ago?
Starting pitching is awesome. It's been devalued a little bit over the years
as far as relief pitching has been valued more.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a reflection of where baseball is today, which is good.
Yeah.
There should be more relief pitchers. It's the first time, of course, I'm sure you mentioned it, that three relievers have ever been represented on the same team at the All-Star game. The Padres making history at this All-Star game. There was never any, when I was growing up, I don't remember a setup guy ever even getting to the All-Star game. Now, over the last decade, there's always been one setup guy usually that gets in.
Yeah.
And now the Padres have two in the same All-Star game, both setup guys, that because it's such a bigger role. People understand. Analytics has helped everybody understand that those outs are just as important as every other out.
And there's sometimes more so.
Sometimes a lot more so. And they save some of their best. But you don't think Adrian Morejon would be a great starter? Of course he would. But they have determined that his particular skill set makes him more valuable as a left-handed relief pitcher that Mike Schilt can use. And he has used in various situations. We've seen him in the ninth. We've seen him in the fourth. We've seen him in the sixth go for two innings. We've seen him get one out in the eighth. He's used all over the place because he's not good, because he's that good and that valuable, and they need him when the game is on the line the most, and that's when they've used him.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. But it's a tall task for these managers tonight to make sure, you answer to other managers, right? Like, there's got to be conversations with every All-Star of like, hey, like what? What were you looking for? You know, Jason Adam, you've been used a ton. How about Kershaw gets the first two outs and you go out and get, because we want you to pitch and you deserve it and you made it. There's got to be conversations, a million conversations had. You know, you don't want to do anything to nefarious, right? And everyone's going to be watching. Not that you would. I don't like DR, but I don't think he'd do anything nefarious. I joke about it, but I don't think he's really going to run Robert Suarez out there for six out save.
Right.
He would get killed. I mean, people would lose their minds. It's a very delicate thing, and you want to make sure, man, that there are guys up there that this could be it. you know, Jason Adams' long career that he's had, and this is his first All-Star game appearance, like, that's special. You want to make sure he gets a hitter at least.
I worried because Jason Adams has been used so much, like, oh, great, he could use the time off. I love what he said, though. He said, I'm kind of glad. I like to keep throwing.
Keep working.
I was actually worried about taking 5 days off or whatever it was, but now I know I get to throw at least once during the All-Star break, and he thinks that's actually good for him, so... I was happy about that. Now, I know you talked about it yesterday. I wanted to be mad about Jacob Mizorowski making the All-Star game after just five starts. I wanted to be mad last year about Paul Skenes getting to start the All-Star game after he had been in the big leagues for like a month and a half.
11 starts, yeah.
But as a baseball fan, if I'm being honest with myself, I want to see Miz in the game probably more than just about anyone.
I know.
When he's out there tonight, I want to see how he does.
I know.
And if you're, you know, taking this as the entertainment product that it is, then, yeah, I have no problem with him being in the game. Now, what is silly is taking the opportunity away from someone else. I think you mentioned Christopher Sanchez yesterday. Unbelievable first half. Yeah. Wrapped it up with another. Now, he couldn't have pitched anyway because he pitched on that Sunday. And the Phillies did the right thing by
giving him
an All-Star bonus, even though he didn't technically make the roster. But I understood why Phillies fans were mad and the Phillies were kind of salty about a kid who had been in the big leagues for 5 minutes, five starts, getting to go to this game when their guys who have worked their whole careers and finally may get an opportunity to go to the All-Star game get snubbed and passed over for the flavor of the moment.
I didn't fully understand their rage because they knew he was pitching on Sunday.
Correct.
They knew he could not go.
It's principle, though. There's principle there.
Nicky P has a legitimate beef, and for all we know, though, Nicky P is one of the 12 guys they called and said, would you like to be... I can't imagine turning it down.
He pitched on Sunday.
Exactly.
They're totally ineligible if they pitch on Sunday.
Yeah, so it wouldn't even bother. So that means that the 12 pitchers that they called didn't pitch on Sunday, were available to be All-Stars. That's a bigger concern for me than letting this kid with five starts in that has elite stuff. So I don't know... Who got that phone call and said, no, I'm good?
I think that it's probably... too complicated, but there could be a, you know, reform the way that All-Star games are selected. I'm not saying take away the fan vote. I'm not saying take away the player vote, but you can have different categories of players. There are the true superstars, and whether or not they're having a great first half or not, you kind of want to see those guys in the game.
Like Juan Soto, he should be in the game.
Then there are the guys who are less heralded but had really great first halves. And you should reward those guys. And then there's the, like, electric sensation, young guy who may have just been called up, didn't have enough time to prove himself, but like Mizorowski, like Skenes last year, we want to see him at that game and have, like, three different categories and tiers of All-Stars and have a different path for all of those guys to find their way to the game that everyone feels comfortable with. Like, yes, you can. Juan Soto can slump for a month. Fernando Tatis can slump for a month. They're still All-Stars. Guys like Christopher Sanchez, who are having great seasons in the first half, may not be household names, get their pathway to make it. And then a young guy who has come onto the scene, electric, but's only been around for a while, like Miz, he gets his way. I mean, they made a way for Clayton Kershaw to get there as a legend. There are different pathways they can create to get guys to the All-Star
game. I was just going to bring up Kershaw. I had less than zero problems with them letting
just
him
looked
in.
Him up, yeah.
He's had 10 starts this year, and he's pitched really well. He's got a 3.38 ERA, 4-1, and he's pitched really well since he's been back. It's also his last year. Like, I have no problem with it. None. And he didn't start the season with the Dodgers. He came back late, recovering from injury, and he's back now, and Clayton Kershaw is going to be the second pitcher in the All-Star game tonight. Who has a problem with that?
Exactly. There's that level of stardom in the game where, you know, you throw the guys like Tatis, I think, is in that list, Otani, Judge, the guys where it's like, bro, I don't care if Aaron Judge missed all of April, all of May with an injury.
He's back in June.
Got back at the beginning of June. Took him 2 weeks to get going, get the timing back and all that. I still want him in the All-Star game. He is an All-Star.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what he did on the field, like numbers-wise. He is a star that deserves to be in that exhibition of the game's greatest stars.
Juan Soto
is in that category. It's weird that he didn't get it.
Also, he's having a good year. Like, he's having an All-Star
worthy
year.
I don't care if he's batting 185.
Yeah.
Like, he's still Juan Soto.
Yeah, it's... It's just, it's not something I'm going to get super up in arms about, you know, but I'm excited to see the kid pitch. I love watching that dude throw. He is the future of baseball, if he stays healthy, which is a big if, man. But I think, if I'm Dave Roberts, I'm going Skeens right into Mizorowski tonight. I'm skipping Kershaw and Adam, and I'm going Skeens, Mizorowski. Good luck scoring the first two innings.
And credit to Paul Skeens last year for, you know, overcoming whatever controversy, quote unquote, of getting to start. He went out, finished a great season, has started another season well. I would expect that Miz is not a flash in the pan. I feel like he's going to be solid around really good pitcher.
Impossible,
you don't know for sure, but you know, they're gambling on it because it's an embarrassing look. If he goes out, gives up a couple of runs in the All-Star game, and then has a terrible second half, everyone's going to look back and go, why was this guy,
who
finished with a 6 ERA and was never heard from again in the All-Star game
which
when
has
he was
happened,
a rookie?
Which I has mean, happened. It's happened. You
but
know.
Not after five starts.
Not after five
hasn't.
Starts, you know. It's like when the NBA did the – they bring the guy in from the G League to be in the slam dunk competition.
Yeah.
The guy's amazing.
Mac McClure.
Didn't he win it twice?
Yeah. Back
he's
to back
unbelievable. I don't feel shortchanged by them bringing in – you know, Mac McClure from the G League because the guy is an elite dunker. So, I don't know, man. I'm excited for it tonight. It's my favorite All-Star game.
Angela says Mike Trout should be in, too. And I think, you
I'm
know, based on that,
Paulie,
you know, that argument
that
you
falls
made,
into
but
it.
that's not a bad take, you know, that Mike Trout should be in there despite injuries and missing a bunch of time.
Let's be honest, man. When we were kids, I was like, geez, this is like... number one, you felt that there was a lot of guys like gifted in because of who they were. But number two, you didn't see 40 guys bail. If you were picked in all, it was so rare to have a guy at the last minute be like, oh, I can't go. Like, it was a priority for them. I don't know that it is much anymore for, you know, people.
Yeah, they'd limp their way in.
They would limp their way in. I remember, didn't Bip Roberts sub for somebody and got like a game-winning hit or something? But no one bailed. Like, no one ever bailed from the All-Star game. They got selected, they went. And that's just different. It's just
now,
different
back
now.
Then, the All-Star game might have been one of your only chances to be on television.
And you get to make a little extra cash, too, because those guys didn't get paid like these guys. But, no, I'm stoked for it. Ski and Scooble is an elite matchup we'll probably never see in the World Series. As long as Paul Skeens is with the Pirates. But Tarek Skubal could absolutely be a Game 1 starter in the World Series.
Oh, they both start with SK.
Yeah, it's true. Very good. Very good.
Didn't realize that.
Very excited to see that tonight, man. This is the game's best on display. It's going to be amazing. Amazing.
All right, we're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to give away some tickets. Rick Springfield is coming to Front Wave Arena.
Oh, question.
Yes.
Andy makes a good point. Is there a three-batter minimum for pitchers in the All-Star game?
I don't know the answer. My guess would be is
My guess is a hard no.
Like, I don't think they're going to get to the end of the game. If you want to get in your last pitcher, oh, wow, we got to throw this guy another batter.
No, that can't be.
I think
can't
they
be.
Can change as warranted during the All-Star game. But I'm not 100% sure. All right, we'll give away Rick Springfield tickets, then Paulie taking us home with the Roundel Report. All coming up with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. All right, how easy is trust in Will? Mr. Over here who can't figure out the DMV, uploading documents, doing anything, somehow figured out how to create his own estate documents by going to trustinwill.com. That's how easy it is.
It's literally made for morons like me. It's that simple. 30 minutes in and out is all it took. And very simple to do and very important to do. I mean, we don't have to sit here and sell you on why you should get a trust or will for your family. You know the reasons. We all know them. As soon as we have a family, we just put it off and we procrastinate. It's something else I'm very bad at. But check it out for yourself. Go to trustandwill.com. Use the code FAN when you check out, FAN, and you'll get 20% off.
I would say that my biggest obstacle was the money. I didn't want to go to a lawyer's office and pay billable hours for something that I'm probably not going to need right away. This takes that away. It's very affordable. And again, you can get an extra 20% off and free shipping of your documents by using our code FAN. Go to trustandwill.com. Don't put it off today. Avoid probate court by getting the trust at trustandwill.com. That's trustandwill.com.
I don't know why, but I picture you, Benjamin, as a pretty big Rick Springfield fan.
Jesse's girl?
Yep, Jesse's girl.
Sure. What else do we have in the Rick Springfield catalog?
That's a good question.
Yeah. I mean, I will definitely listen to Jesse's girl. You get it right out of the way at the beginning of the show. Or
don't talk to strangers. I remember that.
Encore? Is that more of the encore?
Oh, if you go to Rick Springfield, let me pull up a set list. Just to get, hang on real quick.
The whole show is like, there's like four or five acts. They're all headlining, I think.
Yes, that's true.
Or they're all doing a full set.
Yeah, it's more than just Rick Springfield.
It is more than just Rick Springfield.
All right, let's see. Rick.
I Want My 80s Tour at Front Wave Arena.
All right, here we go. July 13th, 2025. He opens with, I'll make you happy. No. Affair of the Heart? I've Done Everything for You. That's a Sammy Hagar cover. I've done every... That's a jam. Then he does the biggest mashup you've ever seen. Living in Oz... This is a medley, which I hate.
Medleys.
I hate a medley. God, do I hate a medley.
What is this? The Super Bowl halftime show?
Living in Oz, Bop Till You Drop, Souls, Two Tickets to Paradise, Jesse's Girl, What's Victoria's Secret, Rock of Life. Hold on, though. Don't get panicked.
Wait, I was worried.
Don't get panicked. Yes. I saw your face.
You saw it.
Then he says, Love is All Right Tonight. Then You Really Got Me by the Kinks. Good song. World Start Turning. State of the Heart, which is another cover. Don't Talk to Strangers. Love Somebody. Human Touch. And his 12th and final song of the evening is Jesse's Girl.
That's too many songs, I think.
He needs about four.
Four would be good. Well, maybe with this I Want My 80s Tour, you can limit it a little
No,
bit.
This is on the I Want My 80s Tour.
And there are other artists who come out and
yeah,
do it. That's
dude.
A long show.
I think Paulie just said that. Everyone's playing a full set.
Yeah.
Who else is playing?
It is. Pull up the copy. Yeah.
Doesn't say.
Of course not.
Why would it?
Oh, where did it go?
You had it yesterday.
I don't have my copy. Just says Rick Springfield. I Want My 80s Tour, Front Wave Arena on August 3rd. Tickets are on sale now at AXS.com.
John Waite.
Oh, I like John Waite.
Wang Chung, Paul Young, Rick Springfield.
Wang Chung has two,
three, four.
They have
full sets from each artist.
Number one, Wang Chung tonight is not a good song. It's not a very good song. Everybody Wang Chung tonight.
Everybody have fun tonight. And then they have Dance Hall Days.
Dance Hall Days is a good song.
Okay.
That's okay. Dance Hall Days. Oh, that's all right. It's better than Wang Chung tonight.
It was a little odd at the time. Like, what does Wang Chung even mean?
Right. That's the name of their band.
Yes.
Who else is playing? Paul.
John, Paul Young.
John Waite and Paul Young. All right.
Who's Paul Young?
I know he's got a single that I know. I can't think of it. But, I mean, I'm going to an Oasis show in Manchester. Obviously, I love nostalgia, so I can't say a word. I'm all about it. Can't wait.
His hit singles include Love of the Common People, Wherever I Lay My Hat, Come Back and Stay, Every Time You Go Away.
Oh,
there you go. There
Planes,
is.
Trains, and Automobiles. Song makes me
every
cry.
Every
it's
time
so good.
You go
away.
Away.
You take a piece of me. Boy, we've done a good job selling this concert. I'm sure AXS is very pleased, as is Front Wave.
Well, let's
arena.
Just give away some tickets
yeah.
Right now. Fifth caller, 833-288-0973. You can win your two tickets to Rick Springfield, I Want My 80s Tour at Front Wave Arena on August 3rd. And yes, tickets are on sale now at AXS.com. You can be in attendance when Paul Young sings Every Time You Go Away and 11 other of his hits as well.
All right, we're going to play it again. All right, here, we're going to start it over from the top.
I don't think it's that bad of an idea. If you have
play it three
one
times, yes.
Big hit.
Play it to start.
Play it like a couple, yeah,
in the middle,
and then
at the
end.
End
again.
100%, rule
I
of
mean,
three.
What's the worst? That's
what's
the
worst
the
that
worst
can happen?
Thing.
I can tell you the worst thing that could ever happen. I don't know if I've told you this story before. When I was 10 years old, in Seattle, Washington, September of 2000, there was one song that you could not go 5 minutes without hearing, and it was Who Let the Dogs Out
by
the Baha Men.
Oh, I was going to say the thong song.
Nope, a little bit past that. Who let the dogs out?
Taylor loves it.
I was 10 years old. It was my birthday. My mom got tickets to the Mariners game, took three or four of my buddies, and we had seats in center field bleachers. The Baha Men were there for a pregame concert to play their one song that they had. The concert didn't end after batting practice ended or whatever. It went on during the game in like the beer garden behind the center field fence. They played a concert throughout the entire game. Like in between innings, they'd play songs. They have one song. After about three innings, it was for all the girls out there who let the cats out.
Oh, no.
I mean,
you get it?
Yeah.
The whole
the girl.
Knight.
Cats.
Yeah. Imagine hearing that effing song. At least.
Technically, there are both boy and girl cats as there are boy and girl dogs.
Sure.
But, yeah. Oh. I still will never forget Hall & Oates for not playing Kisses on My List when I went to see them. I mean.
They just didn't do it.
They just didn't get to it somehow.
That's pretty tired, man. I saw the Eagles at the Sphere. I saw every friggin' song I wanted to see. There was not one that I would. Like, even Glenn Frey, who passed away, they're like, well, we've got his son here. He'll do his songs. You're like, yes, it sounded amazing. So it is a real bummer. Like, if I went across the country, across the world, and Oasis is like, yeah, we're not doing Wonderwall or Champagne Supernova tonight. We're not going to do them. I would lose my mind. I love every song.
I mean, credit to having a deep enough, robust, well of good songs that you can put together a good show without even hitting some of them, but everybody's got their favorite, and if you go and see a band, and you've got a favorite song, and they don't play it during a concert.
It's tough.
That's got to be one of the most unsatisfying feelings.
I don't think that's ever happened to me. Like, not my favorite, like, expected to hear it song.
Now, what you tend to like deeper tracks from artists. I'd imagine you've been to a concert where they haven't played.
Oh, yeah.
One or two of your favorites.
Jason Isbell, I mean, he's gotten me. I've been to see him 10 times, and he's never played my favorite song of it, ever. Never played it. Now, it was when he was with another band, but I can't say the name on the radio. This is GD.
Lonely Love. They play those songs all the time from other bands.
Oh, well, when he was in another band, I've seen him solo, and he's never busted it out. He's never, ever busted it out. So that's kind of heartbreaking.
How do you guys feel about bands playing cover songs?
Love it.
I think it's great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do enjoy that. It's a surprise.
I like to hear their spin. I don't want to hear them recreate it the way it was recorded originally. Like, I like to hear their spin on it.
Oh, man, I love it.
I just found out when I was on vacation this weekend that my brother went to all 3 days of Stagecoach.
Did he?
Yeah, I had no idea.
Holy cow.
And they were like there, and it was like 11 to midnight on the last day. Yeah. They were going to stay, but who was the last? Luke Combs or whoever was the last.
Yeah.
And then they started Achy Breaky Heart, and they brought out Billy Ray Cyrus. Yeah. No, it was Low Places, and they brought out Garth Brooks,
oh,
I think.
Killer.
Yeah, like at the end. He was drunk, but he said it was the most amazing thing. Not Garth was, he said.
But Garth was?
Not my brother. Garth was drunk. But he said it was like the most amazing thing to bring out, like at the end of the night, and everyone was into it. And it's like, okay, that sounds pretty cool, actually.
Mad Vision says Chili Peppers don't play Under the Bridge anymore. I'd say that's pretty
they
big.
They don't?
I didn't know that. I think I've seen them once.
Is that like a principal thing? Like
maybe you just get tired of it.
I'm too sure bad. You get tired of it.
I know. Too bad.
We get tired of Don't Do This, and we still do it every day for you people.
Speak for yourself. I've never wavered on Don't Do This, ever. Yeah, Stones don't play a couple songs. Yeah,
isn't that because of problematic lyrics?
Yeah, yeah, things change.
It's not because they're just bored of playing. I'm like, sorry, bud, like you guys got to play Under the Bridge.
Yeah, it's got to happen, dude.
You got to play Californication. You got to play. You know, there's a handful of songs. Like, sorry, those songs made you who you are.
Yeah,
and why you're still touring and why people have bought tickets.
It's tough to turn your back on the the one that brought you. You know, but they do it. Bands do it.
All right. I know Paulie's going to answer some phones, but Rondell Report coming up next. What do you got for us?
What do I got for you?
Good enough. All right. We'll come back.
We have another team being sold in professional sports.
That's an important story that
about
we have not
damn time.
We have not gotten to, and we will get to in our final segment coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
If I go to a Rush show, I better see this one. Okay. I mean, it's not going to happen anymore, but had I gone back in the day, I would expect a little Tom Sawyer action. I don't think it's too much to ask.
Fly by Night?
Fly by Night, all the way in. Spirit of Radio, Red Barchetta. Yeah, I'm in. I mean, I would have loved to see Rush. I've missed them. Never got to see them.
We did give away the Rick Springfield 80s show tickets to
David.
David, congratulations. We may or may not have more to give away as this week goes on. Paulie says we will.
Every day, all week.
Every day this week. Wish that I had Jesse's girl. Everyone knows that feeling of, you know, your friend's got a cool girlfriend.
No, I don't have envy. I don't envy anybody. Envy doesn't exist in me.
You have some envy.
I don't.
A little bit.
I really, I mean, I envy like baseball players that could hit well.
Right.
That's it. But I've never lusted after the woman of one of my friends, Ben. Would you like to expand on this story?
I would not like to expand on the story. Guess we'll just get to the Rindle report. A check of traffic.
So quickly, before you do, have you guys seen the Rick Springfield skit about Jesse's girl?
No.
It's one of the funniest things you'll ever see. So Rick Springfield is like, hey guys, let's work on that one I wrote last night. Jesse, you just follow along. So Jesse's on the drums. And there's a hot blonde girl sitting right next to him, right? And so he's like, here we go. Jesse was a friend. And he's like, it's cool, bro. And then he's like, you know, I wish that I had Jesse's girl. And Jesse's like, hey, what the? And the girl's sitting right there next to him. Bro, it's legitimately, and it's Rick Springfield playing himself. It's legitimately one of the funnier things you will ever see, dude. It is. I got to find it. I'll send it to you today. I was crying in tears. He's like, hey, what the? He's like, this is BS, man. It's my girl. Oh, it's brilliant. I don't know what they did it on or whatever, but oh, my God, it was great.
Sounds like a Saturday Night
Live. It does. It was like that. It was so good.
All right. Well, let's check traffic, and then Paulie's going to bail me out with the Rindle Report next year on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. I do want to point out to Rick that cute and moot don't totally rhyme, but it's still a good use of the word
moot. I want to tell her, you know,
I feel so dirty when they start talking cute. I want to tell her that I love her, but the point is probably moot.
But maybe I stay mute is also... We could have rhymed better.
How
but maybe I stay mute. Or he could have said, but the point is probably mute. But like how you say pule. Let's get in the pule. No, it's the pool. Pule. The swimming pule. Let's all pule our money together.
Take your top off as you
take your top off when
jump
you get
the pule.
In the pule. I've broken my microphone.
Just hold it
so
in
much
place.
Trouble.
Dangling.
And then have
you're going to leave
Glenn Jr.
tomorrow,
fix it later.
And they're going to be like, what happened in here?
No idea.
All right, well, let's get into it. We talked earlier about the home run derby, Cal Raleigh taking down Junior Caminero yesterday in the championship round, but we haven't really talked about the broadcast.
No, wait, Cal Raleigh taking down. Did you say Cal Raleigh or did you say Junior?
I said Cal Raleigh taking down Junior Caminero.
Yes, you're right.
I don't know. We didn't really talk much about the broadcast. I was curious what you guys thought. I had two takeaways from yesterday. The first takeaway, I don't think it's much of a hot take, and this is no offense to Carl Ravitch, who's a fine broadcaster. I don't mind hearing him on the games. The home run derby, and it's probably just a product of my age and generation. It's not the same without Chris Berman.
Sure.
Back. Like, his stuff got so good.
But see, by the time it got to the end, everyone was tired of Chris Berman, and you know, everything has a shelf life.
Yeah, everyone's got their guy, I guess.
Yeah.
Carl Ravitch is fine.
Thank God it wasn't Joe Davis. Just putting me dead to sleep.
He's got the All-Star game tonight, though, right?
Oh.
Probably, yeah. It's Fox.
He's
product,
the Fox so, number one.
Yeah, I would think.
Boy.
Yeah, you're gonna hear that tonight. Have fun.
17 home runs for Will Smith here at the break.
The other one was probably more controversial, and that was Pat McAfee.
Yeah,
I
saw a lot of blowback.
This probably is a hot take. I'm not mad at Pat McAfee for anything that happened yesterday.
No, it's not
I'm
his
more
fault.
Upset with ESPN. I saw clips from like Media Day. They had the press conference that he was like holding court, and he was like the MC.
Yeah.
And I go, I know this is an ESPN thing, but he's not a baseball guy. And I don't know that it would have been better if they had Jeff Passan or a former player out there. I don't know how they could have fixed it. But Pat McAfee is, by all accounts, he's a football guy.
Yes.
He's a wrestling guy.
Yep,
he's not a baseball guy. So it's kind of weird to see him like doing press conferences before all the events. And then
I'm sure he was uncomfortable. I'm sure he was. It'd be like asking me to do the NBA. Like, what's it? You're on an NBA roundtable.
You're hosting.
I'm hosting. Like, I'd be like, I would be a wreck. So here's the thing.
And people would rip you. And it's like, hey, that's you were put in a pretty rough spot, I think.
I think so, too.
And now, he did do the pregame ceremony for the Home Run Derby, and you had like WWE style entrances like this one for Cal Raleigh.
The Seattle Mariners hailing from Colleen, North Carolina. A man who's doing something that no catcher has ever done in the history of the sport, with the fattest ass in all of professional sports.
And leading the big leagues with 38
homers. I don't know who that was.
So far,
ladies and gentlemen, Big Stumper Cal Raleigh.
So Nick says Pat announced the O'Neill Cruz's team as the Pittsburgh Pirates because he's so used
the
to
the Pirates.
You know what? It's fine, and I'm not mad at Pat McAfee either. It's an indictment on baseball, though, that they don't have someone
their guy
as compelling, like as hip to the younger crowd that can relate and can bring the energy and enthusiasm that Pat does, but is more baseball oriented and focused.
But again, man, so here's the thing about Pat McAfee is like, I think he has done an excellent job on College Game Day. Excellent. I think he's excellent. Why? Because he is a huge football guy. He's a former professional football player. Perfect fit for Pat McAfee. Not his fault that they were like, hey, man, you're going to be here. Let's do this. Again, he went out, did the best he could. From all accounts, here's what I like about Pat McAfee. I don't really watch the show. It's on in the gym when I'm in there. I'm always transfixed by AJ Hawk staring. transfixed. If that was the plan to just reel you in, to wait for him to talk, it was a brilliant plan. But I will say this. I've heard nothing but phenomenal things about how he treats his people. Like, phenomenal things. Like, hey, I made $80 million. I'm going to spread it around a ton of it.
Like bags of cash.
Bags of cash to his guy. Yeah. Like, he really, really. You can go the other way. You can absolutely be the other way. And if given the choice of the two personalities on ESPN, Pat McAfee or Stephen A. Smith last night, I'll go with Pat McAfee 100%
of the
time.
It does seem like with ESPN, the money that they shell out for those two guys in particular, it's like they're doing everything.
Yeah.
I just had a brilliant idea. If they need a baseball Pat McAfee, someone who has the energy, who is known to be able to shout into a microphone, but also loves and is passionate about baseball, I'm sitting right next to them. Right.
Nobody knows who I am.
That's the only problem. We need you to get to a certain level of national fame.
I don't want it.
And then we could slot you right into hosting the Home Run Derby festivities next year.
I would not want to do it.
That's our goal.
David Jay said, I'd rather watch Charles Barkley host a baseball event next year. Now that I would watch.
I would absolutely tune in.
I would have watched Marshawn Lynch call the Home Run Derby. I think it would have been phenomenal. Snoop Dogg. Where was Jelly Roll last night? What are we doing? Like, how have we missed that? Him playing in the background with McAfee screaming everybody's name. I'm surprised it didn't happen. I saw people upset. People are getting upset about a lot of stuff, and I get it. I get it. But I
was confused as to why he was there, I was like, this is who he is. This is his style. This is on ESPN for putting him there.
Yeah, and again,
be mad at them.
I understand the whole, we want to appeal to the younger generation. Now, again, I don't know that the younger generation is like, I wasn't going to watch the Derby, but now McAfee is there screaming, I'm going to watch it. But by all accounts, man, pretty solid guy with the way he treats people and how he handles his business. Again, it's one of those things where it's like, they gave him all this money. Who's going to say, I don't want that money? And that, you know, I get it. And they fired a bunch of people to be able to pay him. It sucks.
He's a bit of an enigma where he can be a lot. And when anybody or anything is like jammed down your throat like this, you're like, I'm sick of this. Whether it's Pat McAfee, the Kelce brothers, you know what I mean? Like the Chiefs fatigue. We had Patriots fatigue. Yeah. Like eventually you just get sick of it.
It's great Gronk. You're like, all right, we get it.
Right.
We get it.
But like Pat McAfee is also, he's a disruptor.
At the beginning.
It was fresh. It always is.
At the end, it's...
Well, it's not.
ESPN taking his YouTube show, his controversial, I guess, YouTube show, because he cursed. That's the only reason it was really controversial. Like, he's a disruptor, and I kind of like that.
I do, too.
But
I do too.
All right, we'll stick in Major League Baseball here. Some significant news yesterday, probably a long time coming. Stu Sternberg is the owner of the Tampa Bay Rays and has agreed in principle to sell the franchise for $1.7 billion. And he is selling it to a group led by a Florida-based real estate developer, Patrick Zalupski. And the rest of his group, they've done a lot of... He's the CEO and president of Dreamfinders, which said back in 2008, they closed on 27 homes. Since then, they've closed on like 31,000 homes. It's a national wow. real estate company. So he's got some money. Pretty good return on investment for Stu, who originally bought the team in 2004, paid $200 million for the Rays.
Sold
for $1.7 billion.
Well, you know, when we get into the...
Did he do a good job owning the Rays?
Yes. He's how many? What's the?
How do you determine a good job?
Competitive.
They were
super competitive.
Yeah.
Didn't spend a lot of money.
Made a World Series.
Made a World Series. It was in the COVID year, but didn't, made a World Series.
Didn't fill his seats very well.
At all.
Isn't the ultimate job of a businessman owner is to, you know, fill your seats with paying customers.
Yeah.
Didn't do that very well.
Still took his franchise from $200 million to $1.7 billion. So when we, I want to remind everyone, when we get to those negotiations, the lockout, the impending lockout, remember, the valuations of these teams, even teams like the Tampa Bay Rays, who average 3,000 people a game, are worth $1.7
Do you get the sense
billion.
That if the new owner starts spending more on the Rays, they're going to have more fans? I don't.
I don't, because they have good teams.
I mean, the Marlins are in Florida, and they have spent money on teams.
They've won World Series.
They've got a new stadium that's pretty cool. They still don't draw people. I mean, Florida people don't seem to go to Major League Baseball games. It's not a good state for Major League Baseball.
In Tampa, is it a star power thing? Is it because they've had really good players through there, like really good players, elite players?
But I can see that you're kind of disappointed knowing, but we're not going to keep any of them.
Correct.
So you don't want to get too attached.
Yeah, you don't get too attached.
I mean, the Marlins had good players for a long time. They still never really drew tons of fans.
I know. Did they back in the day when
not
they were
really? No. I mean, the World Series years, I'm sure they did.
When they had Yelich and Stanton and guys like that, they didn't draw very big.
They were never one of the top attendance teams.
Yet Florida is such a massive, massive baseball hotbed.
Right.
I mean, it's just massive. But
crazy.
It just can't seem to do it, man. Yeah, Adam said, and it's true, I've heard this about Tampa, too. It's really hard to get there. It's kind of a pain in the ass to get to the stadium. That's a huge deal. He did say he wants to keep them in Tampa and not go to St. Pete. What's the difference there, mileage? Does anybody know off the top of their head?
I thought it was close. I thought it was...
They're in the same neck of the woods, but... Yeah,
it was like here and...
Orange County.
That's a significant move.
That's a hike.
Yeah.
You may not want to be a season ticket holder if it's an hour drive or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, Rays being sold, and I don't know when that officially will go through. But
1.7
all billion. Sides have agreed. Hmm. And then, finally, if anybody in our listening audience has recently applied to work at McDonald's, I've got some bad news for you. Your data was exposed because of a massive and kind of comical... oversight by McDonald's. They use an AI hiring tool. They call it McHire. I know. It's basically just the AI version of a website where you go, submit your resume, apply for a position, all of that. 64 million applicants had all of their sensitive information leaked because, well... It was people were able to hack into McHire because they used the username 123456 and the password 123456.
One of my favorites.
It's almost as bad as QWERTY.
QWERTY, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. QWERTY. You were able to log in with those credentials, just 123456, an easy guess, and it granted you not like some access. Total and complete access to the hiring dashboard and the information of over 64 million people.
And I mean, if you're like putting in your bank account information to get hired,
why would you do that?
I don't know.
They can pay
you before
the hire. Do they put that in? I don't know.
Yeah,
probably. That's probably after you get hired. But I mean,
here, if you want this job, give me your debit card. I fall for it. I'm the one guy. Yeah, no problem. You want my mother's maiden name too? I can't laugh at anybody.
Yeah.
ever. I mean, this literally happened to me.
Yeah.
I mean, and don't take this the wrong way. If I am a...
Oh, no. Oh, God. Oh. I'm sorry. Just shut up. Don't say it. Just don't.
Whatever you're going to say, hey, I don't think it's going
to
go
everybody
wrong.
In our audience knows what you're about to say. Just don't say it. Just wear it. God, I wish we were up against the music right now, because this is going to be a really uncomfortable 3 minutes. Barry, I knew as soon as I saw this, the wheels turn to Paulie, I go, oh, God.
As soon as I started telling the story, I was like, oh, this is a bad idea.
Please don't disparage anybody working McDonald's, Ben.
I'm not.
Can't help himself.
I'm trying to help people that may have applied to McDonald's in the last month.
It is a great place to
listen to him now.
Valuable,
here comes.
Valuable life work skills.
Just shut up. Don't talk anymore.
It is absolutely.
Why are you still trying to get this in?
I haven't even said anything yet.
Oh, God. I knew it was coming. You know, actually, if I'm a thief, why would I go? I knew it, Paulie. Paulie, this is as much as your fault as it is his.
I know.
He can't control himself.
I could say the same thing about radio hosts, honestly.
It's true.
They leaked it's not really going to do that much damage.
Take it. What do you want, about 20 grand in debt? To have a ball. You want my social security number? It's yours. Oh, you like my $2,000 limit credit card? Have a ball, guy. I'm never worried about somebody buying a G-Wagon on my stolen identity, right? Like, oh, this guy went out and charged some stuff at Target. I'll be fine.
Enjoy but, things being declined after
yeah, you like that
steal
move?
Our information.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I just knew he was going to do it, though. I knew he was going to do it.
Man.
No, it was good to be back today.
It was great.
Can't believe we're losing you after tomorrow.
Oh, I know. We got tomorrow. We'll grind
through.
You're
going to call in, though.
Yeah, I'm going to call in. 100%.
At least by the end of the week, hopefully, with some reports.
I'm 8 hours ahead.
Manchester.
So it's 6 a.m. when you guys start. It'll be 2 p.m.
Yeah.
I'll be splitting the G on the Guinness glass.
Perfect.
I can't wait. I cannot wait.
Foreplay with Woodsy. And
yeah, hey, what's up, everybody? Just me at a pub. I can't wait.
Can't say the C word on the air,
sing,
though.
You know,
oh,
together.
Should I?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
A rousing rendition of something.
I could totally do that,
one of the
by
pubs.
The way.
But that's later in the week. Tomorrow, Woodsy's still here. We will say farewell to him.
Surprise.
And, yeah, we get some birthday shenanigans tomorrow.
Any dancers coming in?
Early 50.
All right.
Get something for you.
Okay.
Braden's coming up next for Paul Inwoods. I'm Ben. Have a great rest of your Tuesday from all of us here at The Fan.